would you do if you found out that the person you'd been married to for decades had been keeping a secret from you, a secret about who they really are? In January 2015, acting on a tip, police and FBI agents showed up at the Brooklyn apartment of Bobby and Cheryl Love. It turns out that Bobby, a devoted husband and father of four, who taught Sunday school and coached Little League, was also an escapee from a North Carolina prison where he'd been serving time for armed robbery. Bobby Love would eventually go back to prison, though he was released on parole after less than a year. He and Cheryl have stayed together. The two of them tell their remarkable story in the new book, The Redemption of Bobby Love. It's out today, and Bobby and Cheryl Love join us to talk about it. Welcome to Here and Now. How nice to have you.
Thank you so much.
Cheryl, you start the book with the scene of the FBI and the NYPD knocking at your door. What do you remember from that morning?
I was up that morning early, and I was fixing tea, and there was this loud knock at the door. And I'm like, who in the world is that? Who could that be? So I'm like, who is it? And Bobby also yelled from the bed, who is it? And they said, we want 2A. I'm like, okay, so I go and I answer the door. Lo and behold, the FBI, NYPD, push me back, bust through the door. Stand back, ma'am. You don't know who this is. I was in such shock. And they pushed me like back towards the kitchen there. And I looked around looking at my husband, at Bobby, and he's not looking at me. He's just looking down. And I'm like, what happened? What's going on? What is this? And they just told me to stand back. And, you know, I saw them surrounding my husband, like behind him. And I see him mumbling something, but I really couldn't make out what he was saying.
Cheryl, for you, the arrest seemed to confirm a sense that you'd had for a very long time, that Bobby was keeping something from you. You didn't know what it was. But tell us about that feeling.
Well, I had a feeling that he was keeping something from me because we would start talking about things, or he would just shut down sometimes, you know, or either I see him in deep thought sitting in the living room or something, just in deep thought. And I'm like, honey, what are you thinking about? What's on your mind? And I would ask him, and he said, oh, there's nothing wrong. I'm okay. And I would see things like he didn't like to take pictures at all. I even asked him, I said, do you have another family somewhere? Or, you know, but I never saw any evidence of no other calls, no women calling me or anything like that. No, nothing like that. I would ask my girlfriends, talk to my girlfriends, and they said, are you kidding me? He works 2 and 3 jobs, Cheryl. He's there with you. He's tired. You know, you're putting too much into this. But I just always felt there was something that he was not telling me.
So, Bobby, let's go back, as you do in the book, to when you were not Bobby Love, that you were Walter Miller growing up in North Carolina. Your mother tried to do everything she could to keep you out of trouble, but as you grew older, it seems as though you liked to push boundaries to see what you could get away with. When and why did that turn to more serious crimes, bank robberies, grand theft?
I think it was the times and a lot of things going on, and I figured this was easy way to get money at that time, and I took the bait and I just went out there and started doing things that I could do and got busted, but I didn't learn nothing from it, so I just continued to do it.
And you were eventually sentenced to prison for those crimes in North Carolina, and it was while you were working on a road crew that you decided to escape prison. Tell us why you took that risk. You were eligible for parole in, you know, just a few months. Why did you do it?
At that time, I had been accused of saying something to the kitchen captain that I didn't say, and I was written up. That's how I got to the road, because when I got that write-up, I was moved from the kitchen, and I was placed on the road. And I just didn't like that job. I didn't like being out there on the road with a sling blade or a stick and burlap bag picking up paper and those kind of things. I said to myself, I'm better than this.
And so you escaped out of the back of a bus, and you made your way to New York.
Yes.
What was life like on the run?
Well, I was very relaxed. I just tried not to go places where things could happen, police actions and, you know, fights or anything like that. I tried to stay away from things like that, even though 42nd Street offered a lot of that. But if I saw that in advance or, you know, saw guys arguing about whatever, I mean, you could just walk right out on the street and, you know, buy what you needed, you know, far as drugs and that kind of stuff. But I'll buy me a joint here and there and keep it moving. You know, stayed in those flea bag hotels around 42nd Street back then also.
And eventually got good jobs and met Cheryl, and you two made a life together. Cheryl, what drew you to Bobby when the two of you first met?
Bobby was a good guy. He made me laugh. I thought he was very smart. He would know so much about music, and he's a little older than me, so I really looked up to him with that, you know, and I was like so used to dating guys that were closer to my age, and they'll tell you one thing and it didn't happen. But if he said something, he really meant it, and we really did go nice places. Like, the first day he took me on was to see Gladys Knight and the Pips, and he always took me to nice restaurants to eat. So I had a lot of fun with Bobby.
And then tell us how it all came unraveled. How did you find out?
What happened, when they also came in, you know, they told me we were taking your husband to get arrested. He's going to get arrested. And I'm like, for what? And they really didn't explain anything to me. But a lawyer had called me, and she said to me, when you go and see your husband, Mrs. Love, you're going to say Walter Curtis Miller. I said to her, I said, oh, is that the facility that my husband is in? And she didn't say nothing. She just got real quiet. And she said, no, you just say that name. And I said, okay. And my daughter was in the room with me. And when I hung up that phone, I said, oh, my God. I said to my daughter, I said, that's your father's name. But I was in tears. I said, that's your dad's real name, Walter Curtis Miller. That's when I started finding, you know, figuring things out and saying, oh, that's why this, or, you know.
When you found out what his history was, what his past was, what his other life was, did you feel betrayed?
I'm going to tell you, at that moment, I was thinking more about him. I was thinking, you know, how was he thinking? Because I wanted him to know I was with him. But after the story came out, I started thinking that he betrayed me. I had to really get into the realization that this man that I've been with all these years, he deceived me. He deceived me all of these years. So I had to do some really hard thinking. Was, you know, was I going to stay or was I going to leave, or, you know, what I was going to do?
You've been asked the question over and over. And I know listeners right now may be saying, how could you stay with this man knowing he kept this secret from you for almost 40 years?
I think that everyone deserves a second chance. And that's my husband. I had to weigh everything out, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I decided that I wanted to give him another chance. I knew that I loved him. And I knew that Bobby loved me. You know, he wasn't doing anything bad to me at that time. Now, the worst thing that it could have been done, I thought, when he told me, he said, you know, I really was going to bring this to my grave. I wasn't going to say anything. And, like, at the end, let the lawyer tell you all everything, what was going on. And I said, now that, to me, would have been the worst thing ever, because I wouldn't have been able to say anything back to you. You know, so I'm so glad that it came out the way that it did. You know, our faith is strong in God, and there's a scripture that we go by. There's many scriptures that we go by, the whole Bible, but there's one that says, all things work together for the good. I was angry at the person. I didn't even know who did it, but who told on him. But then I had to say, you know, it all worked out for our good, because now we're open and honest with each other. We talk with each other. We communicate when things are not well. We don't isolate from each other. We talk it out, and we forgive. You have to forgive people, because if you don't forgive, you hold on to bitterness. And I did not. We don't want bitterness in our relationships.
Bobby, one of the things you did upon leaving prison was to legally change your name from Walter Miller to Bobby Love. Who would you say Bobby Love is now?
Bobby Love is a straight-up man that loves his wife, loves his kids. I play Little League baseball. I play football. My two boys, I tell them, be better than I was when I played those games. In their work habits, they have different jobs, you know, and I said, you know, do the best you can, make the best impression in that job and doing the best you can, you know, that you can be all that you want to be in your life.
Bobby and Cheryl Love. Their new book is The Redemption of Bobby Love, a story of faith, family, and justice. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us, and I hope it does some good for somebody.
And we have an excerpt of the book at hereandnow.org.